I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent to Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve!
And welcome back, everyone. This is Weird Medicine. We used to call the pre-recorded show the addendum, but since we won't be doing the live show again until next spring, I guess we'll just have to call this Weird Medicine. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, P.A. John.
How's it going?
And John and his wife, P.A. Jill, are having a baby in February. And the preemption schedule has destroyed any hope we had for returning to New York City anytime soon. So there we go.
Sorry.
We're just going to be doing it from the old home studio. In the studio tonight is Jefferson the lawyer. His main claim to fame is that he's not been on a blind date with Fez Watley. Welcome, Jefferson.
Glad to be here.
If you've never heard us before, this is a show for people who would never listen to a radio show that had medical content in it. We try to deal with medical problems honestly and with plain language. If you've got a medical question and you might be embarrassed to take it to your regular medical provider, give us a shout at drsteve202@gmail.com, or better yet, visit the Weird Medicine Forum at ronfez.net or our website at drsteve.com. Please remember, we're not your healthcare providers. Check out anything you hear from us with your regular doctor, PA, nurse practitioner, or whatever. Tonight, it is election season, so we're switching gears a bit. We'll still have plenty of dick cheese questions, but we're also going to have our correspondents report in about healthcare and the next president. There's some serious crap in here. Healthcare in this country, in my opinion, is broken at a lot of levels. We're going to try to clarify who stands for what as the show goes on. No matter what you do, stay for the whole show. After the election segment, we have a question about Stevie Wonder's penis that you won't want to miss. So there's your tease, P.A. John.
That sounds delightful.
I know it does, doesn't it? I knew you'd be interested in that. last show, I uttered four words that had never been uttered on XM 202 before, and those were, thank God for E-Rock. And I have to utter those words again tonight. I'm going to say it now. Thank God for E-Rock. And here's why. Last night we were supposed to be recording this show, and for some reason I couldn't figure out why when I was recording at one level it was playing back at another level. I mean, it looked fine on this digital board that we have, but it was actually recording at a different level, and everything was in the mud and sounding quiet, and it was ripping my hair out. And I called Danny Ross and E-Rock both at the same time, and Eric called me back first. And this is what I have to say. Windows Vista can kiss my ass, because this was pure. Windows Vista has all these hidden quote unquote features. And one of them is buried deep in the control panel is a control for input recording from USB devices. And who would know that?
Right.
You know, I've got all my pots turned up. 100%. I've got everything turned up in my software, but there's this other little piece of software between the board and the software I've got installed that's controlling the volume of the recorded, you know, sounds.
That's just crazy.
And it was crazy. And thankfully, apparently at XM 202 they've had to deal with this. Or Eric knew the answer immediately. And to right. his credit, also so did Danny Ross, who called me just 2 minutes later. And we appreciate Danny too. But I was ready to rip my effing hair out. And then it's 20-30 minutes later. I'm like, well, I'm glad those guys are late, because.
I wasn't late.
Yeah, you were late. We were supposed to.
Well, anyway. I was late, but I wasn't late.
Yeah,
I called before the scheduled time to be here and said, hey,
right.
I'm coming. Just wait on me.
I'm done, I'll get in my car and head to the house. So I get a text message from Jefferson's wife. that says, hey, what are you doing? How you doing? What you doing tonight? And I'm like, I'm sitting here waiting for your husband so that we can do this national radio show. And I get back this text that says, oh, shit.
Yeah, I forgot.
And
I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie.
And so I know you've been on a lot of national radio shows.
Sure.
And so I can understand why you'd be so blasé about it that you'd forget. Oh, well. Well, we have just hundreds of listeners in the 8 o'clock slot. I have no idea how many people are listening. But we do get a lot of emails, and yep. We've got a few tonight. And as a matter of fact, John, this first one that you're going to read is my favorite question to Weird Medicine of all time. And we've had some good ones. So
okay. Wow.
Do the honors, sir.
Yeah, what an intro for that.
I know.
All right. Dear Dr. Steve, if I'm drunk and I engage in lewd acts with a chick I suspect is crazy, is it possible for one to bust a nut on the tits, mouth, or back, back of the leg, hair, inner ear?
Now you're just being silly.
Okay, well, those were a lot of places. And then for the crazy to pretend she's going to clean up in the bathroom, only to scoop up the jizz and shove it up the vag canal. Can jizz survive long enough in those harsh conditions? Is it? It's never happened, but I've always wondered.
Yeah, I love how specific he was about all the different places he was going to bust a nut. You know, it wasn't just, can this happen, but he was very specific. So this, it sounds like less of a hypothetical question than it might otherwise be.
Right.
But the answer I have for him is, if you've ever heard of a turkey baster baby, you already know the answer to this question. As long as there are motile sperm and the splooge hasn't dried out, there's a good chance that there are swimmers still in there. Remember, we're talking about in the ejaculate, there's billions of sperm cells. And let's say you kill half of them, you've still got half of billions swimming around. The odds decrease with ejaculation outside the body, but you only need one to fertilize an egg. So once you introduce live sperm into the vagina, they'll swim like hell to find an egg to fertilize. I mean, they're just weird that way. So my advice to him is clean up your own mess, for God's sake.
Or at least find a chick that'll swallow. Make sure,
or that.
You pop it in the mouth.
I mean, just don't leave this to chance. It was just like that question we had with the people who had the condoms, the foreign bodies in their vagina, and they were old condoms, and it was
right.
Like, what guy didn't know
that it was there?
Right, that he lost the condom, and because he didn't have to take it off when it was over, and he just sort of slunk away and went hee hee hee, and assumed that she'd never find out about it until a month later when she's in her doctor with something really foul going on, and he reaches in there and finds an old condom. I mean, that happens. And it's the same thing here. I mean, just take responsibility and deal with the situation. Clean up your own mess, and then you don't have to worry about these crazy things happening when you're not around.
Or go pop a wad on the sofa.
Okay. Or that. Sure. Because sofas can't get pregnant, right?
Right.
That was what you were saying.
Okay. Hey, but you know what?
I get it.
The way this question was worded, I believe it's happened, and I believe that this crazy, as he calls her, has probably said she's pregnant.
Yeah.
So this is damage control.
This has happened.
Yes.
And this is now what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's it's happened.
Oh yeah.
At some point in the past.
Oh yeah.
This is not something that's never happened.
Right.
Dude,
it's just too doable.
My advice is run.
Well, this next question is going to get us into the election portion of our show. And it's a question about McCain's life expectancy. And I can't remember who wrote this in. I apologize to the writer. It said, what is the over-under for John McCain surviving his first term in office? Please do tell, party affiliation aside. I think we'd all like to know. Well, regarding his life expectancy, I know a lot of people that are making assumptions that if McCain is elected, he won't make it through his first term because he's just that old. And
right.
So they're looking at his running mate as the person that they're going to be voting for or against. And it just goes to show that the human mind is not really good at doping out probabilities on its own. We're just really terrible at that. And regarding his life expectancy, the best way to judge this is statistically. And insurance companies have these things called actuarial tables. And what actuarial tables are lists of life expectancies for certain ages and conditions. Now, insurance companies are really, really good at doing this because it's in their interest to get it right. Because if they're going to charge a certain amount for life insurance, if they charge too little, it's just like a bookie that underestimates the odds. If they charge too little, they're going to lose money over the long run. And guess what? Most insurance companies don't lose money over the long run. So they're doing a pretty good job with this. They also change these actuarial tables yearly based on different modalities in medicine. As we get better at preventing heart disease and people quit smoking, life expectancies go up, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I did an actuarial analysis on John McCain, and this is what we found out. At age 72, John McCain has a 12-year life expectancy. Now, note that as you get older, your life expectancy actually goes up. And that's because after you get to a certain age, you've likely not had the ton of heart attacks or advanced cancer, or you've proven that you can, you know, make your way through traffic somehow without getting run over. And you're expected to live longer. Now, after a while, levels level off again. But the probability that he will die within 1 year of taking office is 0.0329, or approximately 3%. So he's got a 3% chance of dying, according to the actuarial tables, in his first year in office, which means he's got a 97% chance of surviving. Those are overwhelming odds in his favor.
Those are good odds.
So he's pretty much good to go. He's at much higher risk than a 40-year-old, okay, because a 40-year-old's risk isn't going to be anywhere near 3%. You know, chance of dying in 1 year. But those are still really good odds. So there you go. So, you know, McCain's pretty much likely to make it through 4 years and maybe even 8 years, although he will be, if he is elected, he'll be the oldest United States president that's ever been elected.
And that's amazing over the course of the history of the United States to have the what you would expect to be the, you know, oldest president possibly
sure.
elected now.
I always thought it was Reagan, but I think Reagan was only 68. Only.
Right.
Only 68.
Yeah.
So there you go. So this will be a decent segue, although I'm a really rocky segue artist, but this is a decent segue into our election extravaganza. What we did was we called three folks and did phoners with them, then edited them down to about 10 minutes apiece. At our last live show, we had Foundry Music Jeff, who was talking about socialized medicine and
right.
Canadian-style medicine, which he
right.
was in favor of, and he's pretty much in the Michael Moore school. And then Brooklyn Blowhard called in and was – they kind of got into it a little bit, but it was interesting. We had to cut it short because it was just – we were meandering, but I thought it was a really interesting conversation. And so did a lot of our listeners. We got a lot of email about that,
right.
and it was mostly positive. They were very interested in it. So we thought if we were doing the live show, we'd have these two guys in the studio, and we'd just have a little debate about it. Well, we're not doing a live show this month, so we did phoners instead. So tonight we're going to hear Brooklyn Blowhard talk about McCain. We're going to hear Foundry Music Jeff talk about Obama and Canadian-style medicine. And then we also have Lana from Canada, who is a woman who has grown up in the Canadian health system and has some interesting things to say about it. So let's first go to Blowhard, and we're going to listen to his phone call, and then we'll be back after this is over. I'm not going to pretend like this is happening live, although I contemplated doing that. We are amateurs, after all. So here's Brooklyn Blowhard. Hello, Blowhard. How are you tonight?
Good evening, Dr. Steve. How are you and the guys doing?
We're doing good.
Doing well.
We got P.A. John here with us and also Jefferson the lawyer.
Hello, John. Hello, ambulance chaser.
That's
just kidding. I'm having some fun.
Hey, me too.
I keyed.
I kid.
Well, tell us about McCain's health care plan.
Now you want to know about the McCain plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we want to hear your views in general, of course.
Well,
but
you know, the bottom line is this. When it comes to this presidential race and the plans that Obama, that stuffed shirt, is offering, basically spending trillions, $1 trillion in new spending, and with this current Wall Street financial crisis in the country, we're lucky if we get an aspirin out of this government. I mean, how can we make these guarantees now with the crisis that we're in? And people, they're buying everything that these candidates are selling, especially the Obama campaign, where basically he's Santa Claus, giving everybody everything. When in fact, McCain is kind of vague. But the one thing I like about McCain is that he's very big on choice, where the government won't tell you what doctor to use. The government's not going to get involved, which is something that Obama wants to do. And he supports this refundable tax credit, which I kind of like, which gives $2,500 to an individual and then $5,000 for families, and they can choose the provider, and the money gets sent to the provider, and then any money left over from that credit can be deposited in a great program, the health savings accounts, that's happening in parts of the country. Florida is one place where it's happening, and I think that this is common sense, and I think this is the way to go in the future, as opposed to a lie and the myth that we could have the same health care for a congressman as we could have for the average Joe six-pack. And the other problem we have with the Obama campaign is with all this spending, who's going to pay for this? Again, it's a fairy tale. It's a myth. I don't understand how people are buying the nonsense.
Well, what Obama says is that he's going to pay for it by rolling back the Bush tax cuts for Americans earning more than $250,000 per year.
Well, again, that's a scam because the bottom line is this. Obama is anti-business. He's anti-investment. And in times like these, you want to go into class warfare, go ahead. But you're going to destroy revenue, tax revenues, because it's the wealthy people and the wealthy corporations, whether your political affiliation is Marxist or libertarian.
Yeah.
It's the corporations that create jobs. It's the corporations, not the government. And you can't have a guy like Obama who's coming in making promises to spend $1 trillion, Doc, $1 trillion in new spending. And at debate the other night, Schieffer even asked him, because of the economy, what would you cut out? And he couldn't even be vague or specific. I mean, he couldn't be specific on what to do. As for McCain, his plan, you know, I think that's a good start with the medical savings accounts. There's a lot of vagaries on his website, but he also mentions tort reform. And this is what got you in trouble with your friends the last time. Well, here in New York City and also in the state of Florida, where it got so bad about 4 years ago with malpractice going out of control for these doctors that many left the state and it had to go to the state legislature and they had to put a cap on the lawsuits and how much you could sue for, because doctors, especially specialists of different fields, just said, we've had enough, we're leaving. And if you needed a gynecologist, if you needed a gastroenterologist, well, guess what? They were leaving the state. They were flocking to Georgia. They were flocking to other states where they didn't have this out-of-control malpractice.
Well, you know, Obama says that he's going to require insurance companies not to overcharge for malpractice insurance. The only problem that I have with that is that he doesn't say anything about tort reform. So if an insurance company cannot meet their expenses from large lawsuits, then they're just going to go out of business. And again, who's going to step in when these insurance companies go out of business? It's going to be the government.
And the same happened when that ambulance chaser John Edwards was making all his money in those class action lawsuits against the vaccine manufacturers, where basically he was putting companies out of business, getting rich on these people who were, I mean, let's face it, we need innovation, we need technology, and McCain supports that, along with the tort reform, which Obama never mentions.
Jefferson, you were telling me earlier about eliminating frivolous lawsuits,
right,
if there was a system in some states.
Well, I'm familiar with, and well, I'll go ahead and say most states, I believe, if taken their own precautions and addressed the frivolous lawsuits as far as malpractice lawsuits against doctors. And what they've done is most states have created a committee, and then you, before you have the ability to sue in any court, you have to run the lawsuit past this committee, and then as long as – and then they have to issue – after they review the case, they have to issue a right to sue
certificate.
Certificate or letter, and you have to present it. That's basically your passport into court, and you cannot file your suit without that right to sue.
Okay.
And but so again, that sounds to me like more bureaucracy. It sounds like more political hack appointments, and it just seems like it's just creating more government. And the other thing about Obama –
well, but let me ask you this, though, Blowhard. How would you eliminate frivolous lawsuits unless you had a system like that? I'm not sure.
No,
I
understand you need a review board, obviously. But it you have to make it to a point where it's not going to be another, you know, apparatus of a political – local political or county or state political group or action group that basically has an interest that is, you know – supporting these large settlements for these frivolous suits. Let me add about Obama. When Obama talks about insuring all Americans, he also includes illegal aliens. And not only does he want to give illegal aliens health care, the health care that you and I get, he wants to give them driver's licenses, and he wants to also give them Social Security. But that's another story. We're talking medical. But I just want to mention that.
They got to drive to the hospital.
If you believe the stuff that Obama is spewing, promising you the world, and you look at the economy and what's happening on Wall Street and, you know, what's happening in the country in general, how can this ever be accomplished? And not even looking at the gridlock that we have in the Senate and the Congress. You talk about change, nothing will get changed. And it's all lip service because it's just, it's the silly season, and he's going to promise everything. At least McCain has a decent point with these medical savings accounts and those deductibles, and at least he's addressing tort reform.
Yeah.
Where Obama is just promising everybody the store.
Let me tell you this, though.
I don't hear how he's going to pay for it. It boggles my mind how this guy is leading in the polls. I'm shocked.
Two things about this. Number one, I don't see where the medical savings accounts and tort reform – cover the health care for my 40-year-old patient that works at the Roadrunner Market who now has, you know, stage 4 cancer and cannot get health care in the state of Tennessee because he doesn't qualify for government assistance.
It's called natural selection, my friend.
Well, you know, that's the what we're trying to get away from is trying to get people health care.
And then you're going to have 600 million people living in the United States. We're going to end up like Japan. There's going to be more disease spread because you're not going to – everybody wants it for free. And then the sewage treatment plants aren't going to – they're going to say, oh, no, you're going to have to pay extra for that. But nobody's going to have anything. And then the government's going to have to take over our shit.
So P.A. John's argument is that universal access will lead to overpopulation, which will lead to the destruction of our country. So
country and world.
You know, I kind of have a little feeling that he's onto something because what they're also talking about down the road, and this is scary, and I've heard this discussed, is healthcare rationing, where they're going to look at your medical condition, and if you're a 55-year-old fat guy with a heart problem, and you're like a 21-year-old illegal Mexican, you know, they're going to like look at him and favor giving him the health care down the road with this type of system.
Now, who's saying that? Who is saying that?
Just Google health care rationing, and you'll see certain advocacy groups talking about this will what happen if Obama ever gets his way, that it's going to be such a clusterfuck and a boondoggle that – the money is going to be so out of control that eventually it will lead to rationing of health care.
Okay.
So, and they're going to have to decide on your pre-existing conditions, and they're going to decide on – and like I said, maybe I sound crazy saying this, but there is some truth that this is a possibility down the future, health care rationing. Write it down. Look it up.
Okay.
Because this is basically a byproduct of this insanity – of this drunken sailor spending that Obama wants to do, no offense to the sailors. But the truth is Obama doesn't have any substance and Obama doesn't have any credibility. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you're planning on voting for Obama, well, you're just adding to the destruction of this country.
So you think Blowhard has you think, number one, doesn't sound like he likes the lawyers too much.
Well, no, but, you know, my comment on that is just he believes John McCain giving you $5,000 in tort reform as a health care plan. So,
yeah, I'm sure there's more to it than that. The one thing that really kind of bothered me And I'm working hard to be impartial on this, and I hope when it's done, I've criticized both sides pretty roundly.
Right.
When you go to McCain's site, it's a lot of vagaries. Vagary isn't the right word.
Jargon? Political jargon?
Yeah, it's just not a whole lot of specifics. It says we need to bring more health care to more people, but it doesn't exactly say how they're going to do it. $5,000 is not a lot. Although if you have a medical savings plan, then, you know, that might pay for the premium for your catastrophic health insurance.
Right. I think I'm less afraid of the medical jargon on the John McCain website than I am of what Obama has planned of taking more of my money to offer more health care for everyone else.
Well, according to him, of course, unless you make over $250,000, which, you know, neither you or I do, you know, you're supposed to be exempt from the tax increase. So we'll see.
Is that individually?
Dude, that's what I don't know. I don't know if it's couples or not, but, you know,
it's household. It's household.
Well, I still won't fit in that. So anyway, not even close.
No comment.
It was a good segue, though, John, because next we've got Foundry Music Jeff, who's going to talk to us about Obama's health care plan. And let's welcome Foundry Music Jeff. So we also have with us tonight Foundry Music Jeff, who was on our last show. And good evening, Jeff.
Good evening, Dr. Steve. I mean, I say your baritone is an awesome as ever.
Oh, this is allergy voice. I'm about 2 octaves lower than normal. It's unbelievable. So we're in the middle of allergy season here, but it's fun for the radio, though.
Well, if allergies give me that sweet velvety tone of yours, they give me allergies any day.
Do you want me to leave you two alone?
Flattery will get you everywhere, my friend.
Would you please?
Hey, listen, on our last show, we kind of got started talking about healthcare, and we got off on a bunch of different topics, but it turned out to be a pretty popular segment on the show, and so we wanted to have you back. This is our pre-election show on Weird Medicine, and I know that you're interested in a Canadian-style healthcare system, a la Michael Moore's ideas, but I know you have your own ideas. But we were going to talk about Obama's.
Well, they're not his ideas per se. They're the ideas of the Canadian government, and I support them because everyone has access to, if not the best care, but care that would at least help them maintain a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you know, some would argue against a public health care system, oh, you don't get the same level of care. Maybe not, but everyone gets some level of care.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
And well, yeah, that is, and it's a great point. I don't disagree with that. I think John does to a certain extent. But I think that everyone in the country, in a country like this, needs to have access to some kind of health care where you can prevent disease and treat disease as well. And but that's not to say.
Well, you gotta look at it in aggregates. I mean, if you look at the medical system in this country, it's really aimed toward people who have the means to pay for it,
yeah.
And a lot of people do not, and unfortunately, they fall by the wayside. But really, I would think a public healthcare system would do just that, serve the public,
right?
And if you want to measure the success of a healthcare system, you really have to look at the entire population of a country, and measure just how healthy they are. And by every measurable standard, we're one of the least healthiest populations in the world.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a lot of some real serious public health issues. Diabetes is on the rise, especially in pediatric population. You know, smoking is declining. But obesity is just is unbelievable in this country. And, you know, I think we said this before, if you go back to just say any film of an aggregate of the United States population, like if you look at film from the Super Bowl in the 50s, you don't see that many overweight people. But if you look at it now, you're hard pressed to find somebody that's not overweight in that crowd.
Sure.
And,
I think this is sort of a sidebar, but we're one of the few countries with a tradition of home cooking. A lot of us eat out, a lot of us eat fast food, and if you're not cooking for yourself and you don't have the time, you will have very few options available to you, and the that are available to you are the ones that make you incredibly overweight.
You know, that's a really cool point, because when I was in medical school, we used to talk about this, and people would say, well, how come these poor people are all fat? And I'd say, let me give you a dollar, and you go out and get lunch and see what you can buy for a dollar. And you can't get sushi, and you can't get, you know, mashed yeast.
I don't think I'd want to buy sushi for a dollar.
yeah, exactly. Knockoff sushi. Exactly, but what you can get for a dollar is a couple of hot dogs and a soda at Walmart, you know, at the little grill in the back. And so, you know, the stuff that you can get that's inexpensive tends to be
unhealthy.
So, well, what do you know about Obama's health care plan? Because people are going to be voting pretty soon.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say people are going to be voting pretty soon. We've got an election coming up. There's all these people are talking about the economy, and this whole healthcare issue has kind of got pushed to the side, but it's a really big issue, and it's something that we're spending up to 20% of our gross national product on, and it's something we need to be talking about. So I think if we could delineate what Obama is going to do once he gets elected, I think it's just something that people aren't talking about right now.
Well, I think the most important thing to understand about both candidates is neither plan will make any kind of real substantial dent in healthcare premiums in this country.
Really?
The only real way of cutting costs is to do that, cut costs, which means that lawyers, doctors, hospitals, people affiliated with the medical profession will have to take less, will have to make less money. And that really is the only way that the costs can be brought down to any substantial level. But there are a couple of short-term measures that Barack Obama has put forth, which I think are really interesting, even though I don't think they're going to be incredibly successful in terms of reducing those premiums.
Okay.
He wants to invest significantly in healthcare. Information technology systems, which I think is something that the healthcare system desperately needs, a modernized, standardized information collection and distribution tool that is secure and that is up to date and that is fast, so that medical records are easily accessible but protected from hackers and things of that nature, and would also dramatically cut down on procedures that should never have taken place, and just speed up care overall.
Well, so what else is he going to do?
This is an interesting one, and I think is unique to his plan. He's looking to provide government reinsurance for catastrophic coverage. So in other words, if issues of catastrophic coverage, the cost will be straight to the federal government. Instead of the insurance companies, so the government will handle those really expensive procedures, taking that load off of the insurance company, which will hopefully bring premiums down.
Okay.
I don't know how much.
How will he pay for that? Because I do agree that would bring premiums down.
I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
who knows about any of their promises? You know, it's funny. I don't even know where this $700 billion came from. I didn't know we had $700 billion.
Yeah, I didn't.
I would love to have a little slice of that, if I may. It is my money.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, it's part and parcel of a campaign to promise things and worry about how to pay for later. So I'm just going to take what he says at face value and let him figure it out.
Well, I think outlawing cherry picking makes some sense, because one of the problems, and we talked about this when you were in the studio, is that the insurance companies being allowed to dismiss people when they get sick and to cherry pick only the healthiest individuals, what you end up with is a group of people who are extremely sick and cannot get insurance, and that's got to stop. Anything else that he's going to do that you find interesting, Jeff?
Oh, a ton of things, yeah. He's looking to set up a national health insurance exchange to promote competition amongst the insurance companies.
Okay.
And he was set a minimum health cost ratio for insurers, which he didn't really define in detail, but...
Just says here that it will allow individuals and small businesses to buy affordable health care coverage, so... I guess it's a bunch of private insurance options. And then, included with the new public plan. So my understanding is that if you can't afford or if you're denied private insurance, which should be less likely if they drop premiums and they stop cherry picking, then you can get on the government plan.
Yeah, there will be a mix of both because obviously it would be political death for him to say the government's going to take over your healthcare system.
Yeah.
And didn't work with Clinton, and it's not going to work with him. Dr. Steve, I hate to interrupt, but I got to run and do my own show.
Oh, okay, shit. Yeah, it's time. Okay, dude. Let's have a good show.
And, do you mind if I give the quick plug?
No, yeah, absolutely.
It's the What Show. It's Fridays, 10:30 to 1:30 on Pal Talk. For those of you who want to spend the $50 to listen to us, for those of you who don't, you can hear us on the web at www.thewhatshow.com.
Awesome. Listen, man, thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. We'll tune into your Pal Talk
pleasure.
Show when we're done here.
Take care, Dr. Steve.
Okay, man. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, Jeff.
All right. That was Foundry Music. Jeff talking about Obama and Canadian healthcare type system. you know, when I didn't notice this when we were talking to him the first time. That
I didn't
either. He said we all need to make less money, those of us in the – I was like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, I didn't –
So,
yeah.
Of course, we won't get much sympathy from anybody out in the general public. But, yeah, I'm not sure I like that part of it.
Yeah,
but,
I don't either.
You know, I'm just curious how we're going to pay for this. And if insurance companies are forced to take people that they otherwise – couldn't pay for, if they go out of business, then this is a setup for the government to step in. Because when the insurance companies collapse, who's going to step in? It will be the government.
Right.
So I'm not saying that this is some kind of vast conspiracy to get the insurance companies to go out of business so the government can take over. But that would be a consequence of that happening.
Yeah.
Now, I thought it would be interesting to hear from someone from Canada. Because we've talked about the Canadian healthcare system for two shows now.
Right.
And very nice lady, Lana from Canada, emailed me about a medical question. We got talking about healthcare in Canada, and she agreed to come on the show. And let's take a listen to what she has to say. We have on the phone with us Lana from somewhere in Canada. Hello, Lana.
Hi, Dr. Steve.
How are you tonight?
Good tonight.
Oh, we're doing great. You're here with PA John and Jefferson, and I understand that you've got an interesting story about the Canadian healthcare system.
I do indeed. As you know, I'm a consumer of the Canadian healthcare system, having lived here my whole entire life.
Okay, and that makes you an expert.
It does.
Absolutely does.
Well, about 10 years ago, I started suffering from intense lower right abdomen pain.
Okay.
Went to every doctor I could, ERs, family physicians, walk-in clinics, could not get an answer at all. They all said, basically the flavor of month type of diagnosis is IBS. I was checked for appendix issues,
sure.
A lot of major, I'm sorry.
That's okay. So at first they thought maybe you had irritable bowel syndrome, and
that's
then they
correct.
Checked you to make sure that you didn't have appendicitis.
Several times. Every time I went to the ER, I was rushed in for appendix.
Okay. What kind of wait times did you have in the emergency room? Just curious.
Oh, wow. It varies here. Sometimes you can wait 3 hours. Sometimes you can wait six.
Okay. Not too different from some hospitals in the United States, although,
right.
You know, we were talking with Foundry Music Jeff on the last live show
right.
that, you know, a lot of hospitals are going toward, you know, a system where you get seen within 30 minutes.
Right.
Doesn't mean you're in and out in 30 minutes, but no. You at least get seen by somebody. So, but anyway, okay, so you went to the emergency room multiple times, and they kept telling you that they didn't know what your pain was?
No.
Okay. So then what happened?
I was eventually sent to a bowel specialist,
okay.
And they diagnosed me with Crohn's disease.
And how did they make that diagnosis?
Really? I think they just pulled it out of a hat.
Okay, they didn't do a biopsy or a endoscopy or anything like that.
I had a sigmoidoscopy,
okay.
And I went through 3 colonoscopies at the time.
Okay.
And as a last resort, the IBS medication wasn't working. They opted to say that I had Crohn's, and it just wasn't showing up.
Okay. Now, let's talk a little bit about the colonoscopies, because people are always complaining, at least down here, people that are against Canadian-type healthcare systems say that if you're going to have a procedure like a colonoscopy and it's not an emergency, you have to wait forever. How long did you actually have to wait to get your colonoscopies? Because you had 3 of them.
I waited about a month.
Okay.
Not so bad.
That's not too bad. That's not too bad. Here, 2 weeks to a month wouldn't be unreasonable for something that was reasonably elective. An emergency would be another thing. Okay, so you had 3 colonoscopies, so you had access to medical care. And how much did those cost you?
Nothing.
Okay, so that's something. At one point, you were trying to seek a surgical procedure, is that right?
That's correct. I wanted to get exploratory surgery to see if there was something causing that pain. It
yes.
wasn't appendix. It wasn't any of the usual irritable bowel, et cetera. So I tried looking for a doctor who would give me an exploratory surgery just to go in and check it out. No go. Couldn't find one who would do that without an actual diagnosis or reason to be in there.
Okay. Now, that is a bit of a catch-22. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's like I can't look for my glasses until I find them kind of situation where we're not going to do this until we have a diagnosis, but we won't have the diagnosis until we do it.
Right.
So did you feel that this was a particular issue in the Canadian healthcare system, or do you think that your doctors were just having trouble making a diagnosis?
I think it's a little bit of both,
okay.
to tell you the truth. The doctors here are very, very stressed. There's too many patients, too few doctors.
Okay.
So I find that when you go to a doctor, especially now, it's worse. Back 10 years ago, it was better than today. But, to get a doctor's appointment, you wait at least 2 weeks, and you have a time slot of 7 minutes. To speak with your doctor
wow.
before the next person is pushing you out of the way to go in.
Wow. Now that's a problem.
Yeah.
It is.
It sounds like for emergency care, you had pretty good access to care, though.
For emergency, yes.
Okay. Yes. So for a regular doctor's visit, you've got some issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you wanted to go to the United States at one point to get some to get worked up, as I recall.
Now I do. It's been 10 years. I was diagnosed 6 years ago with endometriosis.
Okay.
Stage 4. And that was after, I would say, 20 ER visits.
Oh, my God.
Of just, yeah, it was bad. I couldn't find help with my family doctor. So the only way was when I experienced that pain, I went to the hospital, curled up, little ball, and one doctor finally looked at me and said, you can't keep coming here.
Yeah.
This isn't the way to go. So he sent me to a gynecologist. I had a laparoscopy.
Okay.
And it was horrible. My organs were adhered to my abdomen.
Okay.
My bladder was stuck to the abdomen wall. My ovaries were completely bound. It was a mess in there.
Okay. So they made the diagnosis of endometriosis, which for those who are listening don't know what it is. It's basically where the tissue on the inside of the uterus gets outside of the uterus. And we all know that, the uterus every month, the inner lining gets big and then sloughs off when the woman has her period every month. Well, when endometrial tissue gets inside the body, it's got nowhere to slough off to. So it just continues to grow and causes all kinds of problems like Lana had. So she's got all this scarring and, you know, organs that are stuck together with this endometrial tissue that shouldn't be that way. So, so they make the diagnosis of endometriosis, and then what do they say they're going to do about it?
Well, they gave me a few options. The first one was Zoladex. It basically chemically induces menopause, thinking they shut down the estrogen, it would shut down the production of the uterine tissue.
Okay.
And stop it from bleeding, hopefully stopping pain.
Okay. And so how did that work?
Oh, it was horrible.
Okay.
It was horrible. If you've ever been around a menopausal woman,
yeah,
I was 10 times worse.
Okay. Now, how much did you have to pay for that medication?
Thankfully, I do have insurance with my my company, so I got it at $100. It's normally about $400 to $500 for people who don't have their insurance with a company.
Really? Now, okay, I thought everyone in Canada all had the same insurance, so that's not true?
No, it's not true.
Okay, how does that work?
Some companies have, similar to the States, corporate health plans where they will pay a percentage of your prescription.
So not everything is free in Canada. So you would
not have, everything, not prescriptions, no.
Okay, so healthcare, going to the doctor is free, but the prescriptions are not. So if you've got a medication that costs you costs $1,400 a dose, which there are those out there, then you have to pay at least a portion of that, or would you have to pay the whole thing?
You'd have to pay a portion if you have a health care benefit within the company you work for.
But if you don't?
You would have to pay it all.
Is that right? Okay, see, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, people down here have the impression that everything in Canada is free. So, you know, if you have to wait a couple extra weeks to go to the doctor, it's not a big deal because you're not paying anything. Of course, you are paying for it through your taxes. But
right.
Yeah, let's get to the part where the Canadian healthcare system failed you. At what point did they offer you a surgery to fix this problem?
None.
Okay, but you asked for it, is that right?
I did. I did several times. After three laparoscopies, pain still there, no other options other than chemically induced menopause, which already failed me, I requested a hysterectomy.
Yes.
Shortly after, I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and I personally thought, yay, I'll get my way.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
I didn't.
So how did they treat it?
I had a cone biopsy.
So here's someone who's had pain for years, has the worst kind of endometriosis, has had three laparoscopies, had no problem making the diagnosis, but then when the actual treatment comes around, she's happy because she's been diagnosed with cervical cancer because she thinks finally she's going to be able to get her hysterectomy.
Isn't that horrible?
Now,
yes.
That is horrible. So where are we now as far as you getting a hysterectomy?
I've seen a total of six specialists, all within Ontario, and they've all told me, pray for menopause.
So you're still looking and you were trying to get into the United States to get surgery done?
Yes, I was.
And
I've actually looked into three.
And does your insurance cover you to come into the United States?
Not at all.
So you'll be paying that at premium prices?
Correct. Elective surgery.
What does something like that cost? Cash, you know.
Yeah, that's a great question. How much did they quote you on that, Lana?
It was close to $75,000 all done.
But $75,000?
Yes.
At first, when we first started talking, it sounded to me, well, heck, you know, she got into the emergency room every time she went, and she got these three laparoscopies. But this is a real this is a big issue. And suffering is going on that's being left untended because of basically an economic issue.
It was a painful reality, especially to think that there's probably other women out there with endo that are getting the same runaround or just don't question.
Well, that was Lana, and a pretty interesting story.
Yeah.
$75,000. Who's got that?
Oh,
and you can't get a loan for it. I mean, here's the thing. You can get, and I didn't know this, that you can get diagnosed for free, but the treatment you have to pay for. And that's just frustrating. There's something wrong with that.
I want to know exactly why she was being quoted $75,000, because I was looking up some procedure cost from orthopedic procedures, and the nowhere near $75,000. I mean, absolutely nowhere near $75,000.
Well, you may have been looking at adjusted prices too, because remember
– No, the Medicare.
This –
Yeah,
that's an adjusted price.
Oh,
though.
But the one that you would bill for the insurance.
Well, okay. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for instance, I know for a fact one of ours, an AC separation, whenever you have the surgery, now without anything extended part of it, but the acromioclavicular separation, a shoulder separation, for the surgery to repair just that was $1,800.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they're just looking – there are clinics that are looking out for Canadian people to come. But I'm going to steal your line because I've been waiting for you to deliver it. It's like going to a strip club. How frustrating is it?
Yeah. Wow.
You know, that you can get diagnosed for free, but then you've got to pay for your medication.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, okay. That's our election extravaganza. Make up your own mind. Heck, I don't know. You know, even Foundry Music Jeff said he didn't think that either one of these plans was going to make a huge difference in the end. So,
and I'd have to agree with him.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to the next question. We've been promising this one from the beginning, and hopefully we've got enough time for the whole thing.
Yay. Dear Dr. Steve, is it true that Stevie Wonder's penis is erect because he is blind?
There's probably 10 people in the audience that understand this question. This guy, this asshat, thought he'd stump good old Dr. Steve. But, you know, I asked around, and no one remembers what he's referring to. And then what this refers to is a song from long ago. And here's the story. You remember the old tabloids would be ads saying, you know, co-write on a 50-50 basis, earn $20,000 in royalties, send your song poems to this place. And it would be like the famous artist contest.
Right.
And some outfit in Nashville, Tennessee. Well, this guy named John Truby was working in a convenience store, and he was bored. And he thought it would be fun to send these people the most ridiculous and vile and just idiotic lyrics to just see what their response was. And he built the lyrics around the phrase, Stevie Wonder's penis is erect because he's blind. And it just got worse from there. And he got this letter back, and I'm going to quote it. It said, Dear John, we have just received your lyrics and think they're worthy of being recorded with the full Nashville Sound production. I'm enclosing a contract of acceptance. Please sign and return along with $79.95. This was a long time ago, to cover the cost for each song to be completed. And so he did. He said, well, heck, I've got to see what they're going to do with this. And a few weeks later, he got a single copy of his song set to music, and the rest is history. He initially titled it Peace and Love, and the recording company was so worried about getting in trouble, they changed the lyrics from Stevie Wonder's penis to A Blind Man's Penis, which is what this song has been called for years and years. And so here it is for the first time on XM 202, John Truby's found music masterpiece, A Blind Man's Penis.
I got high last night on LSD. My mind was beautiful. I was free. Warts love my nipples because they are pink. Bob it home, me baby, yeah, yeah, yeah. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he is blind. It's a wreck because he is blind. A blind man's penis is a wreck because he's blind. It's a wreck because he's blind. Let's make love under the stars and watch for UFOs. If little baby Martians come out of the UFOs, give up then, yeah, yeah, yeah. The zebra spilled his plastinia on Venus, and the gelatin fingers oozed electric marbles. Ramona's titties died in hell, and the Nazis want to kill everyone. A blind man's penis. Christmas is a wreck because he's blind. A blind man's Christmas is a wreck because he's blind. It's a wreck because he's blind. It's a wreck because he's blind.
And that's Blind Man's Penis on XM 202 and Sirius 197. Hey, listen, we're all out of here. You're all 1 hour closer to your death. thanks, P.A. John, Jefferson, the Shady Lawyer.
Yeah.
E-Rock and Danny Blowhard, Foundry Music Jeff, Lana from Canada, and Mojo from Shadows of Eusebius. Want to also thank Seth, Rob, and Jeremy, and OK the Cop. Visit drsteve.com for podcasts and complete audio of the phone calls tonight. We'll go ahead and post the unedited versions. And post your medical questions to ronfez.net and the Weird Medicine Forum, or go to email us at drsteve202@gmail.com. For P.A. John, Jefferson, and me, go vote for the asshole of your choice, quit smoking and check your nuts and your breasts for lumps and all that good stuff. Stay healthy. See you next month for the November edition of Weird Medicine.
Your lips move, but I can't hear what you say. Comfortably numb.